Man, I'm thankful to be here. I've been pretty emotional this week, and Mike still has. We cried numerous times on the phone together. I've had other pastors call me this week and been in tears, and I was going to be in Ruth chapter 2. In fact, I had most of the sermon done by Wednesday, and had it all printed off and was studying. I tried to get the sermon done the first part of the week, and just be ready. You may be here a few extra minutes this morning too, okay? But I had the sermon done, and then Wednesday happened, right? And maybe you don't know Charlie. I listen to him every day. I watched all of his Turning Point episodes. He was a strong Christian man who spoke the truth of God's word to people. You're hearing a lot about that he was racist. He wasn't racist. He loved people. He loved people enough to tell them the truth. And he went out into the world and he engaged people. And so, you know, Thursday, it's just eating on my heart. And Friday that, you know, he was martyred this week. He was. And so it's been laying on my heart like I don't need to preach out of Ruth chapter 2. And I never want to be a preacher, listen to me, that is afraid to address something that's going on in society. I'm not that guy. If you want a guy who's scared to talk about tough things, I'm not the right guy, okay? This is a tough thing to talk about today, but I believe it's our duty as elders to teach the flock, to encourage them, to guard them. So I want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ by doing that today. So I'm going to ask you to stand, that we honor God's word together. Turn to Acts chapter 6, if you would. I did not even have time to send the media, my media team, my notes. So they're running on the fly, so don't expect to look up there and see the verse. Be ready to open your Bible and find it. Acts chapter 6. Savannah. Second grade and below, kids, you can go down to children's church this morning. Acts chapter 6, 8 through 15. And then we're also going to be in Acts chapter 7. So just be ready on those pages. Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. It says this, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, of the Creans and Alexandrians, and those from Sicily and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit which he was speaking." "Then they secretly instigated men who said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, 'This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us.' And gazing at him, all who sat at the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel." I want you to flip over to chapter 7 and go down to verse 51. We're going to be in the whole thing today, and I encourage you to read these two chapters today when you get home. I want to be in 51 through 60. It says, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets do your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced before him the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But him, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Let's pray. God, I thank you today for your word. Lord, I pray you just use me today for your glory. Use your word for your glory to reach our church. This message is going out all across the area. I pray you reach people that are lost and dying and headed for hell, God, and they will believe in you and trust in you. Lord, we love you today, and I thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Pretty rough week. Like I said, one of our brothers in Christ, very outspoken man of God, as you all know, was murdered in Utah this week. He not only left behind a wife and two beautiful kids, but many people across the world that he talked to and ministered to and listened to him. Charlie, at 18 years old, founded Turning Point USA at 18 years old. I spoke at a Turning Point USA conference last year in Branson. The mission of Turning Point was to teach young people on college campuses and high school campuses about conservative Christian biblical values. That's exactly what he did. He shared the gospel. I listened to him, like I said, daily. I listened to him share the gospel over and over and over with the lost and dying world. Charlie was murdered by someone who hated that message that he would share with people. He was killed, church, because he would call sin, sin. He agreed with what the Bible said. He would share with people that they were sinners just like he was, and they needed to turn to Christ for the solution. He shared the gospel. It's the same message that we share here at the church. Turn to Christ. We're all sinners. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. Charlie many times had said that the thing that he wanted to be remembered for was not political. It was nothing political. It wasn't that him and Donald Trump were friends, that President Trump were friends, or that he was friends with J.D. Vance. The thing that he said he wanted to be remembered for was his faith. So why talk about this today? Because I believe he's really probably the first martyr for Christianity right here in America that we've seen. We haven't had to deal with this yet. The Bible says, though, in Revelation 2:10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. For 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He knew many people hated him. He knew that people hated him, but it didn't stop him from sharing the truth. He continued to share the truth. I want to talk about this today because many of you, like me, are probably hurting. Maybe you're not. Maybe you didn't know anything about this, and this week is the first time you've ever heard about this guy. But I've taken numerous calls this week from people in our area and other pastors that are hurting. And so I figure if I'm hurting, there's probably some people in the church that are hurting too. So we've talked about many times, I've said from this pulpit before, that we better prepare for persecution in this country. We better be prepared for it, what happened this week. It's been happening in other countries around the world a lot. Our brothers and sisters have been martyred all over the world for their belief in Christianity. This week, it hit the United States. It hit the U.S. of A., right? We thought maybe the United States was different, that we were supposed to have free speech, a free exchange of ideas. You know, every time we have an outreach, and we're having one coming up, you know what I do at those outreaches? I set up a table, and I have a free exchange of ideas with people about what they believe and why they believe it. And I challenge them about what they believe, and they challenge me. The Bible says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you. So I sat and I talked to people, and if I'm challenged and I don't know something, it makes me go home and study it and learn how to have a conversation with that person and how I can answer them. We're supposed to live in a country where we have a free speech and free range of ideas. That's supposed to be the mission of our colleges and universities today. No way. Instead, they teach radical ideas that have nothing to do with being grounded in the Bible, that actually go against the Bible. So when people are called out and talked to about hate and murder, they hate and they murder. And that's what happened. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, church. Here's the transition to this. There's nothing new under the sun. We see, in fact, Stephen is the first Christian martyr. Stephen was this, in the first part of Acts in chapter 6. He was selected to be one of the first deacons in Scripture. Go back and read that later on today. In verse 5, it says Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. So he was selected to be a deacon. We read about Stephen at the end of chapter 7. He's stoned to death for delivering a message to religious leaders who rejected Christ. People that thought they were really smart and they were really intelligent. And Stephen was stupid. He didn't know what he was talking about. He delivered a message, and if you notice, one of the verses in our text says, they couldn't answer him. They couldn't answer him. And because they couldn't answer him, what did they do? They got angry. And they were full of hate. They were full of hate. We read that Stephen was drug out and he was stoned to death because he shared the truth of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. I'm praying that the persecution stops. Church, I don't believe it's going to. I don't believe it's going to. The Bible teaches us that we battle not against flesh and blood. This isn't a flesh and blood battle. It's a spiritual battle of evil. Of evil. Spiritual battle of evil. Listen, they didn't kill Charlie Kirk. I want to make sure we understand this. Charlie Kirk didn't die this week. He immediately went to heaven with Jesus. He's more alive now than he ever was. They didn't kill Stephen. The moment that he took his last breath, when he closed his eyes, he was with Jesus for all eternity. In fact, Jesus, the Bible says Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. This is the only time in Scripture that says Jesus stood at the right hand of the Father. Pretty amazing. Stephen's speech and what he was going through got Jesus to stand. Pretty amazing. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, look, yes, we are of good courage. We would rather be away from the body and be at home with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So this isn't, yes, we're sad and we're heartbroken because we don't get to hear him on earth and we look at his wife and see what his family's going through. But look, he's with Jesus. It's amazing. It's amazing for him. We don't like how he got there, of course. But I look at the text in Acts and I look and see what happened this week, and we have to take heed. How was Stephen in the Bible? He's the example. Charlie wouldn't want me talking about him anymore, and I'm not going to. So I'm going to try not to. He would want me to talk about Stephen and Jesus. So that's what I'm going to do. How can Stephen be this great example? How can we live out this faithful life unto death in this lost and dying world today? How can we live this out just like Stephen? Well, there's three things I want to cover today. The first one, without the first one, you ain't going to get the rest of it. So that's why it's number one. What does the Bible say about Stephen multiple times? That he was full of the Holy Spirit. That he was full of the Holy Spirit. Stephen had put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was living that out in his life. He was living that out. You know why he was selected as a deacon? Because he was living that faith out. It wasn't just on Sunday morning. It wasn't just in a church service. He's living that faith out in his life. Stephen was full of God in his heart and his mind. How does that happen? How does that happen? There are many questions that bring up when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to address those today. A lot of evangelical Christians can have misunderstanding on this. I want to start with what it's not. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not someone placing their hand on your head and you and praying a prayer and you falling back on your back and flopping around on the floor in convulsions. That is not what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. It's not screaming a bunch of syllables over and over and over. That's not what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. It's not some TV preacher that takes his jacket off and hits you with it and you fall over the ground, which I'm sure some of you have seen videos of that. That's not anything with that. Or you run around the church like a chicken with its head cut off. That's not what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. It's not even receiving the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. Yes, you receive the Holy Spirit and are sealed for all eternity, but that doesn't mean you're filled all the time. What is being filled? Scripture teaches us. It doesn't leave us in the dark here. Scripture teaches us what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 15 through 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as the unwise, but the wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. What's he talking about here? Well, the context is the church of Ephesus. So people in Ephesus would worship, the pagan people, they would worship their god, their false god, in drunken orgies. And they believed that to communicate with God, they had to get drunk. And then they could determine what the will of their god was. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit when we consider our daily actions. When we every single day get up and say, God, my actions, I want to honor you today. Whatever that looks like, I want it. Whatever I do, I want to honor you with my actions. What does God want me to do? What does he want me to do? I consider daily not to sin against God. When we're yielding to the power of God and his word, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're living that out in our life. We're yielded to him. And you know what comes out of that? That heart that's filled? Psalms and joy. And what does the text say? Addressing whether in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. It's not just singing on Sunday morning. It's a heart thankful to God for what he did for you on the cross. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, and your mission for that day is what? How can I serve God today? What is that? I want to avoid sin. I want to serve God. You know what? I'm going to bring it up, but you know what Charlie prayed before every single college event? Lord, use me for your will. Whatever you want me to do today, I just want to serve you. I want to serve your will. That's somebody that's filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what Stephen does. Stephen is like, it doesn't matter who the audience is. I'm just going to share the truth. What will hinder being filled with the Holy Spirit? Sin and rebellion. Sin and rebellion will hinder us from being filled. When we give into sinful temptations, worldly desires, when we lose control and do what we know is wrong, when we live like we're lost, when our lives look like a lost and dying world. Listen, I tell my kids all the time, maybe not all the time, but I probably should more, whatever you fill yourself up with is what's going to come out. If you fill yourself up with garbage and junk and sin of the world, that's what's going to come out. If you fill yourself up with God's word and joy in your salvation, guess what's going to come out? Joy in salvation. That's what's going to come out. You're going to be walking around spirit-filled. When we don't, when we live like we're lost, we then prevent God's guiding and his influencing from governing our behavior. And you know what? You're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be filled with junk. Now, does that mean you lose your salvation? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you are sealed for all eternity. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're sealed. But that doesn't mean that your life always resembles Christ and you're filled up and witnessing to people and serving him. You can have the Lord Jesus Christ, and because you turn to sin and you struggle every day and you make the wrong choices, right? It's what comes out. These men, Stephen, you know why he was so bold? That's going to be the next thing I cover. You know how he could make this speech? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That starts with believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Not anything else, not in ourselves, on him. Putting your faith and trust in him. Sin and rebellion will absolutely hinder that. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we then will walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit and it allowed him to do something so great that 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it today, that I'm preaching about it. Without the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit, we're nothing. You can't do anything. Daily, we have to submit ourselves to the will of God. God, what do you want me to do today? How can I serve you today? What can I do today that will bring you glory? That's the example. Because Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 6, we see the result of that. What? Acts 6:10. What does it say? I love this part of the text. It says, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Those guys are all educated. They're smart. They're religious leaders. They're the Pharisees. And they couldn't even stand up to old Stephen. He was just wiping the floor with them. Couldn't answer him. They couldn't answer him. There is no rebuke that will work with God. You know what? In all my years of watching Charlie Kirk talk to people and witness to people, all my years, I never saw him lose a debate about God or the Bible. Ever. Ever. Because it's truth. It's alive. It's active. When you're sharing that truth, you have victory. God gets glory. You can only do that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got to say, God, I want you to take over my life. Every day, church, that should be our prayer. God, take over my life today. Whatever area I need you to work in my life. Here's the second thing I saw about Stephen. And I love this. He's bold. Stephen is bold. He's bold. The whole chapter of chapter 7 is Stephen telling them how they were really against God and had killed his prophets. And how they were sinful and who Jesus was. He is bold. And in fact, here's a couple of verses. Acts 7:42. It's amazing that this is in here. There's such a parallel. It says, you took up the tin of Molech and the star of the god Rephan, the images that you made to worship. He calls them out for false worship of false gods. Stephen does. One of those false gods was Molech. I mean, do we understand? Do you understand the parallel, church, today from the message that Stephen was preaching and the message that Charlie Kirk preached? Maybe you don't understand. I'm explaining it to you right now. What is taking up the tin of Molech? What in the world is that? Who is Molech? Molech was a false god that was worshipped in the Old Testament. Molech worship included, you know what? Child sacrifice. Or passing children through the fire. Idols of Molech were giant metal statues of a body of a man with a bull's head. And it had outstretched arms. Fires were lit underneath the arms of the statue. Firstborn babies were placed on the arms of this altar. The iron would be red hot. And the babies, when you placed one on the arms, would scream in torture and roll off into the fire and die. That was the fault. You think that's graphic, isn't it? That's the truth, church. That's the truth. Couples would literally sacrifice their firstborn child because they believed that Molech would ensure financial prosperity for the family and their future children. They sacrificed their kids in worshiping a false god because I want financial prosperity later for myself and my other kids. Listen, that is why 99% of abortions occur in the United States today. Financial prosperity. Young ladies will say, I can't afford this baby, so I'm going to kill it. It's not a good time for me to be a parent. I want to finish college. We can't afford it. It's not what we wanted. I want the money. You know what it is? It's the worship of self, church. It's Molech worship. Stephen called people out for false worship, and you know what they did of Molech? They killed him for it. They killed him. They drug him out and stoned him because he called sin, sin. He called child sacrifice wrong. You know that every single event that I ever saw Charlie do, you know what they would ask him about? Abortion. And you know what he would do? Share the biblical example, and they hated him for it. They hated him. Told it like it was. Stephen preached a bold message of truth, calling out sin and worshiping a false god. We have to do the same thing. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to share the truth of God's word with boldness, with a lost and dying world. They're gonna hate us for it. Oh, but if we could have the boldness of Stephen today, boldness to share the truth, regardless of the consequences for ourselves, knowing that if someone doesn't share the truth, how can they be saved? If somebody doesn't hear the truth, how can they be in Christ? You know who God sent
that gave the message to? Us. Us. We're the ambassadors. He gave us the message of truth to take to a lost and dying world. If we don't share it, who's going to? Who's going to? Nobody. It's our responsibility. Here's the last thing. And I love this. It's amazing. Because Stephen, not only was he filled with the Holy Spirit and he was bold, but this message he shared with love. He shared this with love. Turn to Acts. Go back to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Go down to verse 59. Acts chapter 7, verse 59. We're going to start there. Just a couple of verses here. 59, 60. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. Stephen preached this bold message of truth. He was bold in it. But behind the message, there was love. Stephen was stoned to death. And look what he's doing. They're dragging him out and stoning him to death. And he is loving the people that are killing him. He's praying for them. He's praying for their eternal state. Lord, don't hold it against them what they're doing to me. Guys, I can't even imagine that kind of love. That puts me to shame. I want to be completely honest with you. I want you to be honest with yourself. Brutally honest. How many of us this week were furious? Furious. You want to go get them. Let's go. Let's go get them. That's not what Stephen does. That's not what Stephen does. Stephen says, "Lord, don't hold it against them." He prayed about their eternal state. He prayed for them. You know what, though? I'm giving Stephen all the credit. He don't get the credit. You think Stephen came up with that on his own? The Lord Jesus, when he's hanging on the cross, after being beaten and whipped and nailed to a cross, he prays for the people that are doing it. He says in Luke 23, 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing." He cared about their eternal state. The people that hated him. That's love. That's love. That's concern for your fellow man. Concern for the destiny of a lost and dying world. Listen, Stephen knew. He knew that the people he was talking to needed Christ. He knew that the people he was talking to needed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Listen, all these people this week in our country that are celebrating the death, Charlie Kirk's death, and celebrating the murder of babies in the womb, that celebrate deviant sexual behavior, you know what's all in common? They need Jesus. They need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He's the answer. He's the answer. Now listen, I'm not saying be passive. That if somebody comes to your house to hurt you, to hurt your family, look, I'm going to be honest. They come to hurt me and my family, I'm going to show them Smith and Wesson. You have a duty to protect your family and your children. We have that duty. We have a duty to protect the families in the church. We have security teams. But we're called to love people. We're not called, church, to go and hate on the young man who did this. He's lost. If he had Jesus, he wouldn't have done it. We're not called to hate his parents. We're not called to hate the people that are celebrating it. We're called to pray for them. Jesus says, pray for your enemies. Pray for them. They need Christ. Listen, I saw many people this week that claimed to be followers of Christ saying horrible things to this young man and his family. Now, they're probably doing it out of anger and hurt, but we don't have that example of hate in Scripture. We have the example of love. We have the example from the Lord Jesus Christ to pray for our enemies, to love them. Listen, I'm not saying, if this young man is found guilty, we live in the United States. You are innocent until you are proven guilty in a court of law. If he is found guilty, he absolutely deserves capital punishment, and I believe he will get it. But he needs Jesus Christ, and his family needs to be prayed for. And I know with beyond a shadow of a doubt that that's what Charlie wants us to do, to pray for his family, to pray for them, to pray that they come to faith in Christ. I want us to remember the example that the Lord Jesus set for us, the example that Stephen set for us, to love our enemies and pray for them, pray for the salvation. It doesn't mean you water down the message. Stephen did not water down the message. The Lord Jesus Christ did not water down the message. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That is not a watered down message. That is not an inclusive message. That's actually very exclusive. He says, you either believe in me or you don't go to heaven. That's what Jesus says. That's the truth. That's boldness. But we have to share that with love. Not with hate. Not with hate. And you know what? When we share it with love, God will use it. He will absolutely use it. He did in this text in Acts chapter 6 and 7. I'm going to ask our worship team to come this morning. I want to close with this. In Acts chapter 6 and 7, I want you to look at what God does. This is God. It just is. He takes a horrible situation. In Acts 7:58, what does he say? Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Look what God does in a horrible murder, a horrible situation. He takes one of the murderers. Saul would have been charged with accessory to murder. If you drive somebody to a gas station to rob the gas station and they shoot the clerk, you're going to jail for murder too. Saul held the garments. Fellas, let me hold your stuff while you pick up the stones to throw at him. God takes this horrible situation, one of the murderers, one of the enemies, and he raises up in that man the greatest apostle in the New Testament. A man that wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Isn't that God, though? That's amazing. Think about this. Think about if you're friends of Stephen, if you're his brothers in Christ, their buddy has just been murdered and sharing the gospel because he shared the gospel. He was murdered because he shared the truth and love. But God takes that loss. He takes the murder and the murderer and he uses it for his glory. That's God. He raises up, man, a new leader that will change the world. Oh, man. I can say this morning that Charlie Kirk's legacy and memory will be one that he was a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he raised up a generation of young people to share their faith with boldness. He shared the truth and love with boldness, filled with the Holy Spirit. Let us pray today for new leaders to carry on. But let's not just pray for that. Let's pray for Erica and her children. Let's pray for our country. Let's also pray for Tyler Robinson and his family. Let's pray for them. They need it too. Listen, I don't know where this goes. I'm going to share with you something that I've just decided to do. 5 years ago, and then I'm going to let you guys sing. 5 years ago, during the height of COVID, our country is in a mess. And I started a political action committee in Marshfield to advocate for conservative Christians being in office. And I did that for about 4 years, up until about a year ago. We had candidate forums here at the church. We'd interview candidates for school board and local office. It was a great thing, I believe. It also was a mistake on my part in certain things. You think, why was that a mistake? Because it wasn't centered on the gospel of Jesus. It was on more on political things than it was the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's important to be involved politically. We're citizens of this country, okay, right now. Ultimately, we're citizens of heaven. But I think for a long time, people came to Cross Bridge, certain people, because they thought Jeff loved Donald Trump and not because Jeff loved Jesus or they loved Jesus. And that was a problem. You come to this place not because you're a Republican or you're a conservative, but because you love the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So the last year, I've told Selena, I'm not doing the candidate forums anymore. Well, why not? Not because I don't want to promote conservatives to office? No, not at all. Everything we do should be gospel-centered. I've been kind of struggling, like, what do I do? What do I do? Last year, I spoke at a Turning Point conference in Branson, Missouri. And I got to know several people that are involved with the organization. One of them's in Christian County. He has a Turning Point chapter. So I've decided this is what I'm going to do. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm going to start in our high school, in our local level, a Turning Point chapter for young people. Now, what does that look like? It's going to be some work, okay? That's going to be my focus. Instead of a political action committee, I want to talk to young people. I want to find out what they believe and why they believe it. And I want some strong Christian kids that are going to help start this, right? I know two of them right now. I've already talked to you about it. They need to get involved with this and share this truth with their fellow classmates. Share this truth about who Jesus is. Because, hey, when you're in Christ, your views change on everything. When you're in Christ, you know that abortion's wrong, right? I don't need to focus on that part. I need to focus on the Jesus part, right? That's what Charlie did. That's what these chapters are doing all over the United States. So we're going to be doing that. I'm going to be doing that. I have a meeting already set up for Thursday with a gentleman from Turning Point USA. So I want you to pray about that, church. I want you to pray about that. How can we reach these young people and teach them the truth? Hey, you know what? Just like Abby and Chris came forward this morning, it's the parents' responsibility, but it's also the church's responsibility. And there's some people in our community as parents that are not doing their job. And if I can somehow build a relationship with some kids and teach them the truth of God's word. Now, are there going to be people in town that hate me for this? Yes. Is that okay? Yes. It's okay. It comes with the territory. We need help. We're going to need help. Now, here's the thing. What can you do? Well, number one, what's the sermon about? Be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Be bold in this message. And the whole thing has to be centered on love. You have to love the people you want to talk to. Whether they are lost or not, the motivation has to be love. That's us, church. Last night, I donated some money. I've donated some money to his wife and his family, but one of the things I did is I ordered a t-shirt last night. And you know what's on the front of the t-shirt? It says, I am Charlie Kirk. Now, I'm not really Charlie Kirk, but the message that he was doing, yeah, we should be. We should be. We should take that. Now, you don't have to agree with everything with him. There were some things I didn't agree with Charlie on. That's okay. He's my brother in Christ. And he was sharing the gospel with people. That should be us. Every single one of us when we leave here today. I pray that you surrender yourself to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you become bold, and your message is one of love. I'm asking you to stand this morning. If you need to come, I'll pray with you. If you just want to come and pray, if you want to pray with your family, you know, one thing I texted my kids this week was, hey, you know, I get into their sports. Man, I do. You know what I said? I said, it's not nothing compared to eternity. There's nothing. So hug your kids tight, your spouse, because you never know. You never know. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for today. I pray that you were glorified and honored today by this message. This focus was not on Charlie. It was on you, God. And I pray, God, that we are bold. That we're bold, that we're filled up with you, that we get sin out of our life, and we submit to your lordship every day. That, Lord, we just want to follow you. What do you want me to do today, God? That we're bold with this, but we love people. And we make a difference in our community. We're not going to be responsible for anything outside of our own households and our own community. God, I pray we make a difference. That we bind together as brothers and sisters to make a difference. We love you. I thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.